here for speaking to us. And I believe we have two more people in Anchorage who wish to be heard. Are they still there?
Yes, we have several more people here. 1 minute.
Seven? Did you say seven or several?
We have several more. Marsha Rockland, Wade Glass, is going to be testifying next. She's approaching the mic.
Hello, my name is Marsha Wakeland. I'm a practicing physical therapist in Anchorage, and I reside in Eagle River. I've practiced for 10 years primarily in the field of outpatient orthopedics. Many of the things that have been said by my fellow physical therapists, I think have been said well, and I agree with them. There are some points that have come up during the discussion I would just like to add to. One of the very legitimate questions brought up was, isn't this permissive versus authoritative to allow chiropractors to refer to us? Yes, it is. But I want to bring up this point. If I do choose to accept a referral from a chiropractor, it is a detriment to me. One, remember that I am a member of a healthcare team, and the members of this team all follow the same mode of thinking. When I confer with them, we confer about the same problem in the same language. And that's why it's easy for a lawyer to refer to a lawyer, as Senator Josephson was saying. You speak in the same language. I would find it very difficult for me, as I do now, to call the doctor or the occupational therapist to talk to them in the same mode. To talk to a chiropractor would be difficult for me. We wouldn't be talking about the same things, and many times I'm sure we would disagree as to what is happening. If I don't choose to refer, to accept the referral, I think it's also a detriment. First, it's bad for the consumer again, because if he again then is shuffled back to the chiropractor to tell him I did not accept the referral, he's confused. It's also been a loss of his time. He doesn't understand what's happening. I see the potential for a disruption to our profession. There would be those therapists that would accept the referral on the basis that it's best for the patient. I think the therapy would help them. And even though I may not agree with what the chiropractor has diagnosed, I feel I will accept it and help the patient. There would be those therapists that feel that they are not acting ethically, and it would be, I could see lots of hard feelings evolving. So although, yes, it is permissive, I'd like you to recognize the problems that may evolve in adapting the referral by chiropractors to physical therapists. I have a couple other things. Is there any more questions on that?
No, thank you very much. I understand.
Just one other point that was, I do support practice of that referral, and I think a very good point that was brought up and certainly must be addressed and more clarification done is practice of referral injurious to the patient. And I just like to say that, as Alice did, no system is perfect. Even careful screening by the doctor does not always eliminate a potential injurious situation. I also want to say, in practice for the last 10 years, I have seen poor patients that weren't, that would not benefit from physical therapy. Two were cancer patients. One had an arterial deficiency. One was an unrecognized compression fracture. And in each of these cases, they did not fit the role that physical therapy could help. It was as Hal said, in one or two treatments, I knew that patient was not for me. And I feel that it will work out at a practical level. And there will be very little danger of harm to the patient. Are there any questions on that issue?
No, thank you. Senator Hufford? No, we understand. Thank you very much.
All right, last point, and then I'll be done. If just to make a comment of what Dr. Nelson just said about manipulation, physical therapists doing manipulation. She said, I don't believe training of 2 months or even 2 years is adequate. I would like to challenge whether chiropractors who now do physical therapy really get 2 months to 2 years of physical therapy training. And I would challenge them to any debate of physical therapy.
if you could send the criteria for licensing by the by your board and by the chiropractic board, so we have an idea what the at least the objective part of the criteria on licensing are.
I was also wondering if you are aware of the fact that starting in 1990 that it would be mandated that physical therapists have a master's degree in physical therapy in order to practice.
Senator Halper says he's not aware of that.
There's one more point I want to make about part of the concern of injuries of citizens. There have been documented cases in both physical therapy and chiropractic where patients have been injured, so I don't feel that it would be increased, you know, just because we don't have it written a thesis in our field whether or not, you know, that injury that the injury situation would be such a major issue since our practice involves a great deal of evaluation and treatment and procedures. I don't know if I made that clear. Do you have any questions?
No questions here. Thank you for appearing. Good luck to you in your new career. Is Monica Safrain available in Soldotna for testimony?
Yes, I am.
Please proceed.
This is Monica Safranik. I am currently a licensed physical therapist practicing on the Kenai Peninsula and also a current board member on the Physical Therapy Licensing Board. I'd like just to make a couple comments. I know several things have already been commented on. It seems to be the two major issues we're talking about now is either broadening our current referral base or totally deleting our referral system. And I'd like to speak against broadening our referral base in that currently it's been that all our referrals are from aligned traditional medical models. And if we start expanding that into other professions that are not currently recognized by that mode, then it's going to be a really confusing issue, I feel, in that if we are to continue with what we have currently going, which is our referral system, that we need to keep with that current traditional medical model. That's another thing why I have a problem with accepting a chiropractor's referral system is one, of course, that they're recognized by the traditional medical mode. Also, I question their current complete thorough diagnosis of medical problems that are facing patients. And if I cannot feel confident in the accuracy and the completeness of that diagnosis, then I'm not able to give a beneficial treatment, I feel. If we were to go with practice without referral, I feel much more needs to be done on our current practice act. One, really looking very specifically at the scope of practice, and also to give the board more authority to regulate competency, which is very much at a minimum right now.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any questions here at the table? Thank you. Do we have anybody else at any of the other sites?
I'd like to make one more comment, if I could.
Go ahead.
I feel it was very appropriate for another profession to open up another statute for the purpose of changing it. And if this is accepted the way this is, I think it's just going to open up avenue for other professors, the naturopaths, the athletic trainers, et cetera, to come in and open up our statute again, and it's just going to cause a lot of different havoc.
Thank you. I don't see any questions here.
We will hear anybody who's been waiting all afternoon, but I think some of the testimony is redundant. We understand many of the issues, and some we will have to wait for materials to arrive to more fully understand them. And I mentioned early in the outset that we have before 5 o'clock to hear from the Prince William Community College people. So if there is someone...
This is Anchorage, and we do have one other person who wishes to testify.
Good. Okay, we'll listen to that person, then we'll close this segment of our meeting.
And Dr. Godfrey was unable to speak to 510. He only spoke to 509, and if there is time, wishes to make a comment on 510. Susan is approaching the line.
I think that I would say to Dr. Godfrey, I don't know what he's going to say, so I can't really comment on that, whether it's useful or not, but we have a pretty good view of 510 and the department that supported it. I don't think that's going to be controversial. Go on then with the person wishing to speak to us.
She will speak to you in just 1 minute. My name is Susan Hutchinson, and I'm just going to decline because I just want to reemphasize the differences of philosophies between physical therapists and chiropractors. And I don't see how a physical therapist could practice under a chiropractic referral if our basic philosophies do differ so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Godfrey, with what I said in mind, do you have anything you want to add on 510 that is new?
He's approaching the mic, Senator.
It may be redundant, Senator. Since Rod Davidi spoke to you, I was not aware of the fact that he was going to be there. The department had issued a position paper on 510, endorsing it with a restricted application, which is all right with the Alaska Chiropractic Society. We don't have any real problems with that. In reference to 5-9, I'll just simply, having been at somewhat of a disadvantage being the initial speaker today, I will address the issues as they were brought forth today in a letter to you. Thank you, Senator.
We'll look forward to your letter. Thank you. Without objection, then, gentlemen, we will put 509 and 510 aside. We'll proceed with the matter very briefly of the Prince William Community College appropriation. And we want to thank everyone who participated in the teleconference around the state. Thank you very much. This is Tom, the moderator, Judah. The teleconference Senate has today. Thank you, all the moderators. Now, the statistics that change you can see. You know, it's clear I'm turning off this set. Okay. Mr. Devins?
Yep.
I bet you'd be pleased to know that I don't want to talk about this therapy.
You'd agree.
That's how expensive you don't have any little drinks down. Senator Fisher, did not this matter come up in 1983? Was there a bill?
We put planning money.
Planning money. Mm-hmm.
For the veto?
I don't think it's needed.
It had some kind of red color stuff on it.
In our file, we have the bill, Senate Bill 454. We have your letter, Dr. Devins, of March 20th. Letter of March 12th from the Valdez Fisheries Development Association. A letter of March 21st from Gail Richardson. A letter from some of you I cannot decipher. Sharon Renfro wrote to us. Deanne Williamson of Valdez also wrote to us. Linda Fossen of Valdez. We have a letter of January 31 from you to Senator Petula, and a report of Valdez Engineering Inc. That's the material basically it gives some others to before us. You're right. A building for Prince William Sound Community College has come before the legislature on a number of occasions. A number of years ago, it came up as part of a bond, a GO bond, and I think maybe it was the only GO bond that ever failed in the state, but we lost it then, and we've been promoting it for a number of years. Currently, we're in some old apartment houses that have been remodeled and released from the state at $1 a year. We have no laboratory space. The Post-Secondary Ed Commission has taken a look at our facilities and has indicated that they feel that we should be a priority. We've experienced considerable growth. If we go back just to 1980, we had 59 full-time equivalent students in 1980. In 81, it jumped to 75, 82, 94, 83, 114. And this year will be approximately 140 full-time equivalent students. Last semester, we worked with 606 students in degree or credit classes and 533 students in pre-college or non-credit courses. The City of Valdez, as I'm sure you're aware, contributes approximately $600,000 a year to our operating budget and has done this for a number of years now. This gives us the opportunity to provide a lot of programs that we wouldn't otherwise have, and we're a fairly comprehensive community college considering our size and our age. mandate to operate anywhere it's like a community college since 1980. The letter that I sent to you, and I won't bore you with going through it all over again, lists a lot of the programs that we have. We have a number of programs that I think are very unique, including our developmental disabilities program, which is the only one in the state and one of the few in the country that prepares paraprofessionals to work with developmentally disabled people. We've presented numerous papers on that. We're getting a lot of requests about that. We have an Alaska Studies program, which is also very exciting and allows a student to get their Associate of Arts degree while studying literature, history, art, natural sciences, and political sciences of Alaska. We received the Esther Phillips Certificate of Excellence for that program in 1982. We've all received at some time or another copies of our publication Soundings, which we're very proud of. We have a shipwreck repository at the college. And do a lot of things that I think are fairly unique and would bear providing us with adequate facilities to offer the courses that we need. I'll pass these around and take a look at them. These are pictures of our current facilities. And without exception, the ones that look fairly good are facilities that we're borrowing. And the ones that look rather crowded and dingy, those are the ones that we are occupying. And it wasn't, I didn't design it that way. It's just, it's a true appraisal of what our facilities are. But we desperately need some additional facilities and need some place, particularly laboratories, because the demand is so high.
Are you on the region's priority list?
Yes, we are.
Where are you on the priority list?
Number 11.
Yeah, just some questions about student loan. In going through this thing, I see your ABD program and your Alaska Studies program. But what is your total number of full-time students in the college level?
Well, this semester, we have, now I'm not talking full-time equivalency now, we're talking about full-time students, traditional students. We're in the neighborhood of 50 full-time students, traditional students. 17 of those are in our developmental disabilities program, and they're on a work study program in which they go to school and work at Harborview. Each year, keep in mind that we've increased. Oh, we increased in the neighborhood of 20 to 25% each year.
Other questions?
Show you, we've done a lot of planning. Currently, we have an artist sketch of where we would like to put it, and what we're talking about is not this entire structure that includes all of the long-range planning and dreaming that we might do, but this is the building right here that we're talking about that this appropriation would purchase.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah.